Bob Fesco of Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. He joins us live here. You know, I'm curious, Bob. First of all, thanks for your time. I'm curious what the sentiment is about the Denver Broncos these days, because here in Broncos country, the Chiefs are kind of like this big old, you know, gorilla in the room that no one is going to be able to move in the AFC West for the foreseeable future. But when, you know, it comes to your guys' sentiment about the Broncos, what's the tone there in Kansas City?
Well, we're just glad to be on the other side of this, quite honestly. I mean, for so many years, going back all the way to the Elway days and then obviously the Peyton Manning days, the Denver Broncos just seemingly owned the Chiefs, and we couldn't get out of our own way at times here in Kansas City. And Denver was having all the fun and all the success, and now we're on the other side of this, and we're finally like, all right, this is our time to shine. I mean, I think what we're looking at, though, with the Broncos is there are some people here in Kansas City that are having a tough time going, do I root for the Chiefs or do I root for Drew Locke? Because he grew up here in Kansas City and has so many friends and family members here in town. So I think right now we're looking at the Denver Broncos, though, as a football team that we've got to take seriously, because the Chiefs didn't take the Raiders seriously. I didn't take the Raiders seriously, and they came in here and beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, and Bob Fesco joins us of 610 Sports Radio there in Kansas City. Bob, can you break down the injury report there from KC? Any chance Sammy Watkins play? Schwartz, what's the injury situation there in KC?
Well, I think Sammy Watkins is probably going to be out of this one. The Mitchell Schwartz one is really interesting, because he was, you know, got a streak of like 133 straight games or whatever where he started, and he got another one in against Buffalo on Monday night, but left soon after that game, you know, with a back injury and with back spasms. And so I would imagine he's probably not going to play, but you never know this day and age in the NFL what happens and, you know, modern medicine and all of that. So I would like to think he's going to try to play in this game, but if he's not healthy and he can't go, then that's going to be a big loss for the Chiefs right now, who are very, very thin along the offensive line. I mean, if you look at their depth chart, everybody that they have listed as a backup is now a starter for the team. And so there's not a lot of depth there along the offensive line. If Mitchell Schwartz doesn't play at right tackle, that's a big loss for this team.
Bob Fesco of Fesco in the Morning on 610 in Kansas City joins us here. And James Palmer of the NFL Network just in the last couple minutes saying most likely, according to Andy Reid, Mitchell Schwartz will be out against the Broncos on Sunday. So just to pass that along real quick, okay, in real time.
Yeah.
Okay, so Kansas City, they're great. The Chiefs are great. You go and win the Super Bowl. And I was, for a couple months here in a row, Bob, leading up to the NFL draft, was saying, hey, this guy, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, keep an eye on him. The Broncos should draft this kid in the third round. He's gonna be there. No mock draft had him going even in the second round, let alone the first round. And there Andy Reid is, gobbling him up at the tail end of the first round. And all of a sudden, you guys become more multiple. What do you make of sort of Andy Reid not totally reinventing who Kansas City is, but certainly becoming more dynamic?
Well, I think that reinventing is probably a good word, because, you know, Patrick Mahomes isn't as good as he was in 2018. He's not as good this year numbers-wise as he was in 2019, but they're still winning games, and that's all that matters. They're not the flashy, you know, offense where we saw 500 or 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards in his first year of passing, but they've got so many weapons now, and if you want to, you know, defend the pass, they'll beat you with the run. If you want to defend the deep ball, they'll pass underneath. Like, they really don't care. Patrick Mahomes has kind of turned into a point guard this year, and he just kind of distributes the ball to whoever's open, and he'll get it to you, and he doesn't feel the need that he has to throw a 35-yard pass every single time or a 65-yard touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill. A lot of the deep stuff hasn't been there for the Chiefs this year, but they have no problem beating you underneath. And now, you know, with the addition of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, it gives you a running back that can catch the ball out of the backfield a lot better than you did a season ago, where Damian Williams was kind of your leading back, but he was really a nondescript, you know, running back until the postseason in the Super Bowl, where he was awesome, obviously, and could have been Super Bowl MVP if not for Patrick Mahomes. And so the Clyde Edwards-Helaire addition was really, really, really shrewd of them. And then Damian Williams opted out. And so now you've got your number one running back who can break tackles, and most of his yards comes after first contact. And he's really shifty. And through six games, Clyde Edwards-Helaire already has more yards rushing than any Chiefs running back did the entirety of 2019.
Wow. Wow. Bob, talk about the addition of Le'Veon Bell and how much you expect to possibly see him this weekend.
That's been like one of the biggest topics we've had over the last couple of weeks now, is are they going to sign Le'Veon Bell? Then they did sign Le'Veon Bell. Now it's how much are they going to utilize Le'Veon Bell. And, he just started practicing with them this week. He's going to play, whether it's a limited package of 10 plays, 15 plays, 20 plays, 40, who knows what they're going to do with him. But I think Andy Reid is probably going to try to get him right in the middle of things. I mean, he brings such another dynamic, too, of not just being able to make plays with the football, but he is so good at blocking. And right now, with the offensive line kind of being banged up a little bit and Clyde Edwards-Helaire not really being that blocking type of running back, Le'Veon Bell fills that need as well, which could make the Chiefs going downfield more dangerous. But he's not going to have to be the guy in Kansas City. He's just going to be a piece of the puzzle here. And I think that's what's so special about Le'Veon Bell. When he was a piece of the puzzle in Pittsburgh with Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, he was really, really good. Then he went to the Jets, and they're like, okay, you're the guy. And he's like, okay, who else is going to help me out here? And there was nobody else. And so he wasn't able to put up the numbers. But now you come here to Kansas City, and he can just be a piece of that puzzle and add another dimension for Patrick Mahomes, whether it's a wheel route out of the backfield or a swing pass or a handoff or a draw play even. You know, I just think he can bring so much more to the table. And really one of the cool things about it is now he keeps defensive coordinators up a little bit longer during the week trying to plan for him.
Sure. Bob Fesco of Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City drops by Stokely and Zach. Is there any chance, and this is a hope of some members of Broncos country, is there any chance that Kansas City gets caught slipping this week? It's a short week. It was a big-time football game this past week on Monday Night Football against the Buffalo Bills, who came in at 4-1, big-time AFC matchup, playoff implications, and the Chiefs win that game 26-17. Now you come back and play a Broncos team that, you know, hasn't had a winning record in years. Is there any a possibility from your vantage point that this could be a potential trap game for the Chiefs?
I'll say no on that just because the Raiders were a couple of weeks ago, and that was kind of a wake-up call for everybody. And this team is really, like, bizarre. If they got their mind made up that they're going to do something, they go out there and they do that. And they looked at that Raider game, and they've all admitted we weren't quite mentally ready. We kind of took them for granted. The Raiders were that wake-up call for the Chiefs, and I don't think they're going to let anybody now kind of be a look-ahead game for them. And, you know, they were in the midst of games against the Texans, the Ravens, the Patriots, the Bills, and then all of a sudden you got the Raiders sandwiched in there, and like, which one doesn't belong, right? And so they kind of took a week off against the Raiders, and we saw what happened. They played their worst game probably since Patrick Mahomes has been here, still put up 32 points, but they gave up 40 points. The Raiders had to play their best game in a decade to beat the Chiefs, and they did that, and Kansas City ended up falling and losing that game. But this defense doesn't want to go out there again and get embarrassed like they did against Las Vegas. So I would say no, there's no more look ahead because they got that wake-up call, and these guys are still kind of smarting from that, and they use that as bulletin board material, and they motivate themselves in just such strange ways. I'm sure they've been talking about the Raiders all week and not having that same type of performance going up to Denver.
Bob, last one here, buddy, and thank you again for joining us. Last year when I looked at this Kansas City Chiefs team and broke them down for the first Broncos game, it was the worst defense I had ever broke down before. I mean, they were absolutely atrocious, so bad. And to watch them develop, and I know Steve Spagnuolo was just getting there and trying to implement his stuff, but to watch them, how much they progressed throughout the season and ultimately won the Super Bowl and how much that defense got better, what do you make of that defense this year? And you know, they did have some hiccups there against the Raiders. And Steve, I know he did speak up and say, you know, he wished he would have done some things differently, especially on that Henry Ruggs long touchdown. What do you make of the defense this year?
Well, I think they're an underrated unit. I think once Frank Clark got healthy last year in the Chargers game down in Mexico City, this defense turned a corner like we hadn't seen in a very long time from a defense here in KC. And the front four, Frank Clark, Chris Jones, Tano Passanio, Derek Nnadi, Taco Charlton, you know, guys like that, they've got to be on their game. If they play their game, this defense is very, very tough to score on. If they're getting to the quarterback, this defense is very tough to score on. And that's what happened against Oakland. The front four basically decided they were taking the week off, and they didn't show up and got no pressure on Derek Carr all day. But a healthy Frank Clark, where he is right now in his career, where he is 100% healthy and he's not nursing a neck injury like he was last year, he's the difference man. Just so vital for this team. And when he's on and playing good, this whole defense plays well.
Great stuff, Bob. We appreciate you coming by, and maybe we'll do this again at some point down the road. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Bob. All right, there he goes. Bob Fesco of Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City.